Welcome back to the Taint Me Later podcast, which is part of the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. I'm your host, Noah Rubin, and today is another episode of the draft series. And for this one, we're going to be talking about UConn guard Stephon Castle. So let's go ahead and get into it. And before we talk about Castle, I just wanted to let you know that support for this Fantasy Basketball International podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Shaving your jewels doesn't have to be risky business anymore thanks to the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. This trimmer is all about keeping things smooth and safe so you can trim with confidence. Treat your wrinkle berries and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com to get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FBI. With Manscaped, it's easy grooming, no surprises. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FBI at manscaped.com. Show your balls some love and feel free as a dove. That code will combine with any other deals they already have going on at their site, which means you can end up getting a really, really good deal. But now we're going to talk about Stephon Castle, who just won a national championship with UConn. As a freshman, obviously helping them go back-to-back. So he wasn't part of the first one, but talented player. So we'll talk about what he could be for an NBA team as well as what he could be for fantasy managers. So just quickly, brief overview. UConn Huskies is where he played for in college. He's a guard. He's going to be 19 years old when he gets drafted. Will turn 20 early in his rookie year, but still drafted at 19. 6'6", 215, so pretty good size guard, can play both guard spots. He was more of a wing in college, but played point guard in high school, which is pretty important to what, I don't think I'm the only one that thinks this, but what he can be, and what I think he can be. So after talking with Matt Lawson yesterday, I decided just going to use per possession stats. I had already been using per possession stats for looking at like comparing prospects, but I figured if I'm going to use that for comparing prospects, I'll use it when I'm talking about them as well. Even especially for the college ones where you can easily find these stats, the international prospects are a little bit more difficult to find per possession stats, but college one makes it easy right there on basketball reference. So can lay it out for you. And yeah, so per 75 possessions, Castle averaged 18.7 points, 7.9 rebounds, 4.9 assists, 1.4 steals, 0.9 blocks, a three, 2.6 turnovers, shot 47.2% from the field, 26.7% from three, and 75.5% from the free throw line. If I'm remembering this number correctly, UConn only had, I think, 62 possessions per game. Whereas G League Ignite was closer to 100. I'm going to quickly try and, so this is from this year, the leading college team in per possessions was Kennesaw State at 77.5. And if I can try and quickly find UConn, I'll make what I'm saying a lot simpler, but maybe I won't be able to do that. So 68 possessions per game. So this is a little bit more, but it makes it easier to compare when, you know, the slowest paced team was Virginia at 63.3 possessions per game. So it's an extra 14-ish possessions that Kennesaw State had. So I'm not looking at anybody for the draft from Kennesaw State, respectfully, but comparing it to the G League, where it's, you know, I guess 1.5 times the amount of possessions potentially, changes it up a little bit, makes the numbers more comparable. So is this what his numbers could look like in the NBA? Potentially, I don't think as a rookie, but gives us a good thing to look at, and despite college playing at a slower pace. So I have him as my number three prospect. No Ceilings also has him three based on their latest mock and their latest big board. The Athletic, Sam Bassini, has him as of his big board as of about a week ago, the number three prospect. ESPN still has him ninth. I don't know the last time that was updated, and it doesn't seem like it's like been updated anytime recently. So we'll see if that changes the next time they make an update. But and then the Ringer, Kevin O'Connor, has him number one. So a nice, like, I mean, I'd say me having him at three is pretty similar to a couple other people. ESPN isn't updated, but he's a guy that's going to go, I'd say, guaranteed top five at this point, especially after winning a national championship as a freshman and what he provided to that team and what he can provide to NBA teams. Pretty easily a top five pick, in my opinion. Just a guy that I would really want my team to have. We'll talk about what that means and whether that's going to translate to a bit of like any sort of fantasy impact. So some of his strengths, I think the defense is a big one. Arguably the best perimeter defender in the draft, but at least one of them. I think he has a pretty smooth all-around game, like even based on this, like statistically. If you look at, I'm just going to go back quickly to the per 75 stats, like nothing stands out as, oh, like that's really, really good, but it's just pretty solid all around. Not any real weaknesses outside of his shot, which we'll talk about here in a second. I think that the finishing is a strength of his. He's just a strong finisher. He's a big body guard, so that makes sense. The playmaking, I think, is a strength as well. It didn't necessarily lead to a ton of assists, but like I said, he wasn't playing point guard for UConn, but he did in high school. So he has played multiple roles and adjusted and been very effective. Like he changed from his position in high school to something else and still helped lead them to a national championship. So I guess you could even say like his versatility or his adaptability or other strengths, like the intangibles that don't really like directly matter for fantasy basketball. Like a player that is able to adapt to a new situation, that doesn't necessarily translate to fantasy, but it could indirectly lead to better production in fantasy. And then the size for a guy that can play make like a 6'6" guard that can guard, I'd say pretty easily, like 1 through 3, and then like, maybe not easily, but can guard 1 through 3 and play point guard. Like that's a nice asset to have, especially in a quote unquote weaker draft class where there may not be as many stars. I think he has some of the most upside out of anybody in this class. The weaknesses, his jump shot is bad. Is a bad percentage, 26.7% from three, 75.5% from the free throw line. Not ideal. Especially shooting the college three, but his shot doesn't look horrible. I think that's kind of a consensus thought, or maybe I'm just echoing what I heard while listening to No Ceilings and then looking at it myself and saying, hey, his jump shot looks pretty good. The percentage is just bad. It's something that can improve, and maybe he's not ever an elite shooter, but if he is a threat from there and keeps the defense honest and then uses that to open up driving lanes, I think that's, you know, an ideal, like how he works through any sort of weaknesses with his jump shot. Because if it gets to the point where he's just, teams are begging him to shoot it, it's hard to stay on the floor in the modern NBA, as we've seen with a handful of players recently. I'm not, like, he's obviously a better shooter already, like, no doubt, than Ben Simmons. But Ben Simmons, who's effective everywhere, can't shoot, can't be on the floor. Like, it's hard for him. And health is an issue. And yes, he actually can be on the floor. But my point is, he's less effective because he can't shoot. Stephon Castle is a better shooter than that. I'm hopeful that he will continue to grow in that. But it was bad in college, and it's worth noting. And then the other weakness I have is what his fantasy impact is going to be. And I guess with these weaknesses, I'm going to list them, what I see, like, hey, this is was a weakness in college or when they were playing in an international league, but this is a solution or a reason for hope when they get to the NBA. The steal percentage, so this is just measuring like based on how many like per possession, basically, how likely they or how many of their possessions they came away with a steal. So his steal percentage was very similar to Jalen Williams in college, who, you know, didn't have a great steal percentage in college, but went to the NBA and had an awesome rookie year with steals, and then has still had like been solid with the steals in year two, though he's been more effective in other ways. And he had the exact same block percentage as a guy that's Scottie Barnes. So that's not to say, hey, these numbers are pretty similar. Stephon Castle is actually going to come into the NBA and be elite in steals and elite in blocks. That's just saying that college production doesn't necessarily directly translate to the NBA, which, duh, everyone knows that. If a player has a really good block percentage or a really good steal percentage, then you're hopeful, hey, that'll probably translate to the NBA. But just because it wasn't great in college doesn't mean it can't be in the NBA. So, and especially because he is a very good defender, I'm hopeful that he'll be able to at least make a little bit of an impact in those categories enough to make more of a fantasy impact than, say, this is always my best example of a guy who's a really good defender that does not get many defensive stats as a DeAndre Hunter, who isn't great in category leagues because outside of points and threes, not really helping you in any categories. Halfway decent as a rebounder. The efficiency has been improved. And he's had some really good stretches, but doesn't get this like the steals and blocks that you would hope for out of an elite defender. But maybe Stephon Castle doesn't fall in that bucket and he ends up doing enough on statistically on the defensive end and, you know, good enough assists and good enough scoring that he can be a really good fantasy player, but I genuinely think that he's more of a real life guy than a fantasy guy. So I understand if he slips a little bit in fantasy rookie drafts, but I think he's really going to be good. So his ceiling to me is I think he can be an all-star. I don't think that there's a ton of players in this class that have all-star upside, but I think he's one of them. And I think he can be an all-defensive player. I don't know that he necessarily has all-NBA upside, but I think he can be an all-star and a very good player. And I think he's a guy that will impact winning in the NBA. His floor to me is just a wing defender that can be a nice rotation piece. Like I genuinely don't have many concerns about can he play defense at the NBA level. Like I don't think that's going to be an issue. What it could be is, okay, the shot never gets better. Like it's just, he's not hitting them, simply put. He was a point guard in high school, but he didn't do it in college. And when he tried to do it in the NBA, it wasn't great. So he has to play on the wing, and he's a wing guy that is a pretty decent playmaker for wing, but he can't shoot. So it makes it difficult for him to really find success. So he's a guy that can come in, give you 15 minutes, play really good defense, get a couple of buckets, you know, miss a couple threes. Cool. Like, I think that's like worst case scenario for Stephon Castle. I really, really like him as a player, but have to acknowledge that, hey, that could happen. And again, it'll probably end up being somewhere in the middle between those two. Ideal team fits. I think Charlotte would be a good one. This was kind of something that Matt Lawson and I actually talked about yesterday because we talked about it last year. This time was Charlotte drafting Scoot as a guy that can penetrate and kick out to LaMelo, and he'll have space because LaMelo can shoot. Whereas Castle and Scoot aren't, that's not their strength. So if you have a guy like Castle that can pick up the opposing team's best ball handler, that, you know, prevents LaMelo from having to even attempt to do that. And then you have a guy that is a secondary, at least a secondary playmaker, that where LaMelo is still the primary guy, but he can play off ball, let Castle you know, operate in the paint and kick it out to LaMelo, to Brandon Miller, to Miles Bridges, things like that. I think that one, I think that's a good fit. San Antonio, I really want them, this isn't like a just a me thing, but to get a point guard. And whether that's Castle or Topic or a trade or anything, I think he'll fit. And then also having Castle on the perimeter, you know, playing really good defense and then forcing guys into Wemby, like, makes the Spurs a difficult team to score on. And then the Wizards, I think anybody the Wizards take, I'm not going to be upset about, just because I think they have so many holes that there isn't a ton of, like, Koulibaly and Abdia. Like, those are probably the two guys that you could say, like, they're part of the future. Jordan Poole, maybe. Kyle Kuzma, maybe. Like, guys that will probably get traded at some point or just aren't part of the teams. Okay, like, the next Wizards team that's going to be really good, or at least good and make the playoffs, where do they fit in? Castle, I think, is a guy that is, you can either build around or sort of build around, and next year if you get a star, like, Castle's a great guy to build with. And a guy that just came in and won a national championship in 1 year of college, like, I think the championship pedigree does mean something. Doesn't mean everything, but it means something. And if you're wanting to set a culture for a winning team, I think Castle's a good guy for that. But that's going to do it for this Stephon Castle Draft Series episode of the Tank Mutilator podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at NoRubin22. Follow us at FBI Basketball. You can find us on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Like, rate, review, comment, whatever you want to do for this podcast. It helps us out a ton. And don't forget that you can get 20% off at manscaped.com with the code FBI. And thank you for listening.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.